What are we doing today?
Doing Dolemite.
Like, okay.
Oh, he's bad.
Nerd Soul.
Late LK at one, you're holding it down, bringing that street geek and nerd soul. What is up, my people, today? Oh, yeah. Coming with another wonderful episode of movie reviews. Usually it's Beach Vibes Life on Wednesdays here, covering hip hop with the brother to the left. But today we got something super duper special. If you follow the show on Wednesdays, we talked about this movie. We had some problems trying to see it. You know what I'm saying? The promoters was tripping.
We had problems. I thought we saw it. We didn't see it? Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. We still ain't see it, but we saw it on Netflix. So before we get started, to my left, the illustrious, magnanimous, philanthropic,
all right,
producer and producerial essence,
producerial effervescence. What'd you say?
Producer and producerial essence.
That's not a word. Yeah, the first producerial is a word.
Yeah.
Oh, hello, people. I'm Arcatron. ArcKatron.com is where you can find me. You can also find me on all social media platforms over the whole entire universe and the multiverse too.
Yeah.
All the verses.
All.
Yeah, we're here doing the Dolemite review, and to my right, I have a interview extraordinaire, Comic-Con extraordinaire, Comic-Con conventions, all conventions in the whole universe and the multiverse.
All of them.
Nerd Soul.
Thank you. NERD, SOUL, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, iHeartRadio podcast, all that jazz. So, we talk about a bad man today.
Yeah.
Woo! A legend. We are here to celebrate the life.
It's a celebration.
It's a celebration of Rudy Ray Moore. My name is Dolemite on Netflix with Eddie Murphy, with Wesley Snipes, with Titus Andromedon from
Craig Robinson,
Mike Craig Epps. Robinson, Mike Epps. I'll say this before we get started. One thing I love about black movies, when we make a movie, everybody, we all make a movie.
Yeah.
We Keegan-Michael Key in this.
When we make a movie, all shades are usually represented too.
Yes, you know what I'm saying.
All shades, not just CW shades. Not just light skin.
Yeah,
there's all the shades. You know, right?
All the shades. And it's funny because I'm watching this movie. I'm like, yo, I ain't seen that person in forever. This movie, I just want to give love to that.
Oh, yeah, there's a surprise, too. I forgot. Like, that wasn't advertised. I forgot, yeah.
So, I love the fact that whenever we make a movie, we all make a movie.
Yes, sir.
But this goes into the life of Rudy Ray Moore, better known as Dolemite for all of those with the, you know, the comedy records and then the movies, the seven movies. I only knew of three, but I didn't know there were seven.
I knew he made movies, I just never seen any of them.
Yeah.
I didn't have access to things. I didn't even think about, let me just see if I can find a Dolemite movie.
When I was younger, my stepdad would reference him and talk about Dolemite and like signify monkey's feet and stuff. And I'd be like, I don't even know what he's talking about. Or he'd be like, keep your wig on tight. And he'd be like,
I had.
And then like hearing that later on in, what is it, Mad Lib?
Yeah, Mad Lib, yes. Screw your wig on tight. Yeah.
So, and then, you know, Are You For Real and all that stuff. And then all the stuff from like, either Busta like Rhymes. ODB or Busta
Rhymes. Was my first introduction to Dolemite when he had it on the intros.
Yeah.
So that was my first time. Dolemite. Who's this Dolemite dude? I think I found his music and like I had You Should Eat Out More Often. I had that. I actually had that record actually.
Oh, word?
It was in another record. Like I bought a record. It was like something and then it was in there, stuffed in. It was two records.
So one of them came through.
I came through. So I was like, yo, this record's crazy. So I listened to the whole thing. I sampled it.
Wow.
I'll let you hear it after.
So word.
I actually used it. I was like, oh, so that's just, cause when it came on the movie, I was like, that's a part I sample. Yeah. I have all that.
Yo, it's the movie goes through his life, his time, and that's great. But these performances are just fun to watch, man. Eddie, top form, Wesley, top.
Yeah, Wesley.
I love how Wesley's just like, look. Shoot it, whatever you want.
Like,
just whatever, I don't care. Look,
he's like,
fine. Like, he was like, is it like Shaft? He was just like,
and he's
like, he didn't respond. Like, and then, you know, having them showing him, you know, he's trying to sell his music,
yeah,
or his comedy, yeah, or, you know, all kinds of stuff, and it's just not working.
It's not working.
And he didn't give up, man. He kept coming.
Yeah.
Because he had something.
He had something to offer.
Yeah, he definitely
did. He probably had something to offer, so he pushed it to the limit. Pushed it to the limit.
Gotta push it to the limit.
He definitely pushed it to the limit. He basically went, you know, broke.
Yeah,
and still he had music out, which happened to a lot of artists back then too.
Like, yeah, because he bet on himself.
Yeah,
they said, all right, we'll give you this loan, but we want all your royalties until you pay us back. And they gave him a loan. He bet on himself, and the movie goes crazy.
Yeah,
and during this, you're seeing them kind of make two movies. Well, you're seeing them make one movie, but they're kind of mixing two movies. The first and the first, Dolemite and Human Tornado. They're kind of fusing this into one movie.
Gotcha. Like, okay. Gotcha.
And just watching how he pulled. I mean, honestly, he pulled the black community together. You know, he got the bougie black dude. He got the it's gotta be real. It's from the streets. I'm writing the streets. I'm writing real things. He pulled everybody together. He pulled old girl Queen Bee.
Yeah. Lady Reed. Yeah.
He pulled everyone together to make this amazing movie or these movies.
Yeah.
And just seeing that there's a beauty in the unity that I saw in this. And I mean, of course, this is a movie. They're flying by tons of, you know, I guess, story points and life moments.
But yeah, you have to do that because it's a
being
movie.
But being
it's a
able
movie
to
about
this,
a movie. It's a movie about a guy who created a character.
Yeah.
It's a couple meta. It's a couple layers deep with the meta.
Because it's a movie about a guy who created a character to then make comedy and movies and music and all that stuff.
Yeah, because no one wanted to see him, Ray Moore, like that. You know, like the way he was doing just his little sets, little DJ, MC sets or whatever.
Snoop in a house.
Yeah.
Chris Rock in a house. Like, it was, man.
T.I.
T.I. in a little Doja. I love how everybody had the perfect microphone.
The like, microphone hairstyle.
Like, like a perfect, like right on the head. Oh, man. It just shows the ups and downs, but he never gave up. And he had a true entrepreneurial spirit.
Yeah.
Like, dude recorded. This is why I tell you guys. I told someone at the Double Toasted event like a week or so ago. You got a phone, you got a camera.
Tis true.
Go out there and make something.
I got two cameras.
Yep. So go and make something. You got a camera that's just as good, if not better, than what like Spike Lee had or Steven Spielberg had back in the 80s.
You got to be creative. You know, you got to be creative enough to stand out.
Yeah. And I love the fact that he said, okay, fine. I got this character. I know it's funny. Some people are laughing. I got people laughing at the club now. Because first the club dude, and the club owner dude, he's been in stuff.
Yeah, he's been in a bunch of stuff.
I can't think of his name.
He's been in a bunch of stuff.
Due to the club, is not feeling him. He's going too long on his time. He switches up with the character. And now he got people coming. He's like, yo, I got to make a comedy album.
But how did he get to that character, see?
Yes, now that I want to get
part,
into that.
I don't know how, I don't, is that truthful, that part?
Maybe.
Or did they stretch it?
I don't know. It might be truthful. Because think about it. We all know it, in the hood or, you know, in the urban areas, everybody know that funny wino. Everybody know, you know, old Willie that's at the gas station. He's hilarious. Old Willie at the corner store. He's hilarious.
Not a
he
question.
Old, he have, missing some teeth.
I have another
but
question.
He funny.
Did he ever compensate them dudes?
Ooh. He compensated them on the spot. It was work for hire. You saw he spread that money?
Nothing on the back end.
That was below the line.
On the back end. There was nothing on the back end.
I don't think so. That was below the line costs.
Right, well,
he spread that money on the table.
Willie. And that guy was from Luke Cage.
Yeah, that was Luke Cage's boy from the barbershop.
Bobby Fish.
Yep. And he had the smooth beat. He had to make it crumbly.
But he stood there.
He recorded them. He was like, "Let me get these jokes tight," like because you know. Rudy Ray Moore was always great with taking something and then polishing. He was good at taking something that was like at 75% and then polishing the rest, you know, to the finish. And just seeing how he pulled that together, pulled his album together, for someone like myself, for someone like you, for anyone who has an entrepreneurial spirit should really watch this. And I know the times were different back then. Yeah. I understand. But I'd say this, to a certain degree, we may have less gatekeepers than there were back then. You know, or maybe the same amount, but we have a slight go around due to social media and stuff.
There just may be more gates then.
Yeah, it might be
still the same. There's still the ratio of gatekeepers is still the same.
Yeah,
there's just more gates.
We have a few more options. Yeah, we have a few more ways. But
there's a couple more
roll around.
There's a couple more walls too.
Yeah,
with that.
So it's just interesting watching him not give up, and then also seeing how he got the hotel.
Oh yeah.
You know, he was like, "Look, I found an owner."
But he's a hustler.
He's a hustler.
He got a hustler.
And you gotta have that. You're like, "Hey, look, you got a problem. You want all these homeless people out here? How about this? I'll clean out the homeless people. You let me film in it."
No, he even said that. He was gonna be just like the keeper. He didn't even say he didn't tell them what they were doing in there. The power wasn't even on.
You're right. You're right. So
the power.
Yo, all I know is, next month,
whoever built that one, whoever,
next month, a whole building's worth of power, son. Next month, that joint was like,
unless
good
he got it from
God.
The streetlight, So he probably couldn't be there for too long.
Because the second they come to check the meeting, be like,
the young kid, I believe it's Nightcrawler from Dark Phoenix.
Oh, okay.
You just couldn't notice him because he had makeup on. But yeah, I think that's a Nightcrawler because he's so skinny and tall. Yeah, I think that was him.
So
from my memory.
So like, seeing him go through this is just inspiring. Because, I mean, all we know is the final product. We knew, you know, way down in the jungle deep. That's all we know. And we know these crazy yet awesome movies at the same time. And, I mean, he said it. They went to a movie and they were like, it's not funny. And this is where this, you know, black people, come in, listen in. Remember when they were like, it's not funny. And they went to make a movie, and the guys at the record label, I think, were like, well, you only, when they were talking about the film, when he was talking about the film to them, he was like, there's only five blocks of people. And he said, yeah, but every city got those same five blocks. Your people are enough. You don't need to go cheese it up in somebody else's face.
Yeah.
You can serve your community and still get yours. You know what I'm saying? Because he was like, look, every neighborhood got the same five blocks. You know what I'm saying? Every neighborhood, every city got the hood. So if I'm just serving the hood, fine. You saw what I did in Indianapolis. I'll serve the hood everywhere. And man, seeing him pull that movie together was funny. Seeing him film it.
Yeah. especially that sex scene.
Because
before the way it was written was like, you know, some elegant thing or whatever.
Yeah.
I remember Michael Keegan when he's like, yeah. Like,
well, it's supposed to be elegant. Because remember at first, there's like this weird thing where she's looking at a painting. She's like, oh, I'm looking at this painting. It's so sexy. And there's like dudes sliding down a slide butt naked. I don't know what I'm watching.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting how they filmed it, like how they made it funny. He made it funny. It's like it was initially wasn't supposed to be funny, but he's just like, yeah,
because
he was nervous about it. He's like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, like, I ain't no sex symbol. I ain't Prince.
Queen B was like, I'm gonna say this. Queen B, I'm gonna just say this. Yo, Queen B, you good in my book. Just say that. Because Queen B's like, I'm not pretty or whatever. I was like, there was a couple of times where I was like, yo, she looked kind of like Jill Scott. Jill Scott is not an ugly person. I'll just say that. I've
seen Jill Scott a couple times perform.
Yeah, I've seen Jill Scott perform. There's nothing whack about it. So getting scooted past that, just seeing how he made it work was beautiful. And then on the side of how he made that work, how they make this movie work. This movie is funny.
Yeah, but
it's touching. It's endearing.
They were talking about this movie for a long time. I remember like at least 5+ years they've been talking about this movie and Eddie Murphy doing it. And it just seemed like it was going through all this like turmoil and stuff. Like, is there ever going to get this movie done?
Yeah.
I don't know what made it fall through, go through, like actually come out. But I'm happy it did because
definitely.
Because more recently I've been watching Eddie Murphy clips here and there. I'm like, oh, this He's still there. Eddie's still there.
Yeah, he's still kind of got some passion.
I was very worried before this movie came out. I'm still slightly worried about Coming to America 2. It's not because of
I'm
Eddie.
Not anymore.
It's not because of Eddie. It's because of everybody else.
Really?
I'm not worried about Eddie. Eddie gonna be all right.
But I think there's something, like you said, about energy. When everybody gets back together and they're having a good time and they're laughing.
I get that.
You know, I think that's gonna show.
I get that. But see, it's the one thing you know I don't like.
What?
I don't like part two. No, because...
Well, what if it's Coming to America, : We Back or something? And so it's not technically part two. It's kind of like you got Avengers Infinity War and Avengers Endgame.
Attaching it to something that is legendary. And it's 30 years of legendary.
Yeah.
Coming back and getting the band back together is never the same. Unless you bring some new energy in. New energy.
Well, they'll probably have whoever's playing their sons or their kids or something.
I'm worried still. Not as worried as I was before Dolomite, but I'm still worried.
Because I ain't going to front, man. Wesley.
Yeah, man, Wesley Snipes probably.
Is killing. And I love when he's like, so he going to let you out of jail because he was like, it's the streets.
Yeah.
He's like, it's real. It's the streets. Like, nah. He's like, so she has a whorehouse and she knows you, so he's going to let you out of jail. Yeah. He's like, it's real. It's the street. He's like, wardens aren't cops. They don't investigate. He's like, it's real. Like, I love how dedicated he was. And then we saw at the time, he's like, these actors don't get any work. So there's no film or theater. They can only come here. And he's like, I've got a movie for them to be in. It's like, everything seemed to kind of work around. And he was able to pull people here, pull people there. And work things out. And I love the moment when Chris Rock, Chris Rock's character sat him down. And was like, "Yo, man, I'm trying to help you start your movie. What's up?" He's like, "Man, I don't know if he's like, look here's my cousin. He's a manager at a
and that guy been in a lot of stuff too.
Yeah, and yeah, he's
he was
been
in
like,
Life, I believe.
Dude. He was also Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I don't know if people watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But yeah, he was in the last season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, and honestly, that's something I've been looking for. I'm looking for someone new that runs a comic book shop and someone that that runs a movie theater, because there's stuff that I'd like to film from time to time. But you know, you use those relationships. And he's like, yo, I got my cousin, call him. And he's like, well, what's that supposed to do? He's like, I don't know, figure it out.
Yeah.
I don't know all that, but like, yo, I'm trying to help you.
To get the movie played, but if you can get people in the theater, you get all the ticket sales. And
That's not bad. And he's like, I gotta pay to shoot. I'm like, well, you're renting the space.
Really. Renting the space, yeah.
What you're really doing is renting the space. And $500 ain't bad if you sell that Bama out.
Yeah.
You sell, now,
but it's
if
back
four
then,
people show up.
But it's back then. So $500 is a lot of money.
Yeah, but.
But also.
I think every ticket was what, like $3 or something like
that? If that back then.
I'm trying to remember what when they showed the sale. No, those were the record sales that they were showing. They weren't showing
movie
ticket
prices.
Sales.
Movie prices were right
movie now. Prices back then, which was.
That's why now you look at inflation.
When was that? Like 71? 70, something like that?
In
69,
the
something like that?
Mid 70s.
Yeah, so probably like 73, 4, whatever that was. And you can. If you pack a theater that usually has what, about 150 seats, maybe like 100 seats, 150 seats.
That thing had way more on it. That was a big theater.
Yeah, that was a big theater. So, because back then they would only have one screen. It ain't like these multiplexes now where you have like the smaller theater and then the bigger theater and stuff. So
in 1970, the movie prices were about 150.
So all right, 150. So say he had.
We'll say by then it was probably $2.
So probably about $2. So he might have messed around and broke even. Maybe
No. He definitely did that. That theater had at least. That was a big theater.
Yeah.
That was a really big theater.
And it was packed.
And then maybe it showed three shows.
Oh.
It wasn't just one show.
Yeah.
It was three shows.
So yeah, he killed it.
Yeah.
And he was like, do I get any popcorn money? That's all mine.
Yeah.
He's like, that's all mine.
He's like, you're going to sell out all your popcorn tonight.
He's like, yo, you sell out all your popcorn because they all coming. And that's something that I love. Someone who pulled his people together. Did it for his people. He won't look in to try to, you know, appeal to a larger base or something. Just made it because he's like, yo, this is what we think is funny. And everybody came out and supported it. And you never saw a situation where he was like, yo, let me make something for them. Nah.
Yeah. he was even in the meeting with the distribution, whatever the name was.
DPI, I think it was, like Dimension Pictures. Dimension Pictures or something like that. Yeah.
Incorporated or something like that.
International.
Dimension International.
Yeah.
Yeah, them people.
It.
That meeting or whatever. That guy's from Better Call Saul, isn't it?
Maybe.
No, that's from another.
But I love how he was like, all right, everybody be quiet. Don't say nothing.
Yeah, but it's still,
he was like, what you talking about?
Of course he was going to say something. We knew that. That's the whole, that's the whole trick.
The whole bit. It's like, all right, everybody be cool. We're a dignified organization.
Yeah.
I love how he was like, look.
And fashion, whoever did the fashion designer, whoever was the...
Oh, Ruthie Carter did the...
That's who did... Oh, yep. Okay. So same one that did Black Panther, right?
Yep. So shouts to Ruthie Carter.
Okay.
Shouts to VA. She went to Hampton. You know what I'm saying? So shouts to VA.
Mr. VA over here.
Repping VA all time, son.
Something to have anybody in the movie from Jersey.
It's probably somebody in there from Jersey. Gotta be. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know now.
But, just the way this movie played out is something that it was kind of like inspiring. And it's like, this guy, for all intents and purposes, you would not think is an inspiring guy. You'd be like, oh, this is just a dude, talks trash, says some funny things,
but
and made some crazy
scenes,
movies.
This stuff is he had a reason. It was a driving force that like no one could see but him. Yeah. Again, remember they said, you're the comeback kid. Like, you don't want to know, you fail, you just get back up. You do something else.
Yeah.
So he did. Because the movie was about to be a failure.
Yeah, definitely.
Because again, he couldn't do nothing with it. Because remember they said he can't put it out. But they said the same thing with his music. He can't do nothing with your music.
Yep.
But then he started making his own stuff.
Yeah.
He became his own Def Jam.
And then
started printing the label, putting that sticker.
He's like,
what's the devil on it?
He's like,
what's the devil on it for? He's like,
make them think they ain't supposed to listen to it.
Yeah. And then you see all the kids at the record shop like listen to it, like. And then when they buy it, had to like put it in a little bag and slip under the table. Like, here's your record.
and I love how when they were reading the reviews, he didn't like the bad reviews until they got to the one where they were like, this is horrible.
Oh, yeah,
it's despicable. It's the
worst film.
He's like, oh, yeah, it's raunchy. And he's like, oh, I like that one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that's just going to make people be like, how raunchy.
Yeah, I want to see it.
How raunchy.
That can get them out there.
Because there's always those two groups. The how bad is it, and also the hate watchers.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate this type of mess. I've got to see how much I hate it.
But it's polarizing. You always want to.
Yeah.
If you want to do entertainment, I'm going to tell you this right now. In an entertainment field, you want to be polarizing.
True.
You want
true
people that. To feel something. You don't want indifferent people. Because if indifferent people do nothing for you, they don't spend no money. They just wait to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, like I said about Logic, lukewarm. Lukewarm.
And that's why I don't like mediocre.
Lukewarm.
When it comes to music.
Yeah, that's right.
Stop with that mediocre stuff.
Stop it.
Stop with that middling music.
Yeah, we ain't playing with that. But the end, and I don't know if the end really happened, how the end happened, or the way that screening went down, but that's the type of stuff that connects you to the people. You know what I'm saying? Like, Queen Bee goes in, he's like, nah, I'm going to kick out here with them. They got to wait till the next
year. I haven't seen the movie already.
You know, he's like, I've seen it. I'm going to kick it out here with the people, keep them warmed up. Because think about it, that's the type of stuff people will never forget. That's the type of stuff that you do when after the movie, people go get like buy like two more records. You know, then that's the type of stuff. Because, and we hear about stories where celebrities are always mean to people, but there's situations where celebrities are great and folks never forget that. You know what I'm saying?
It'll take you
2 minutes to make someone's life. You know
pretty
what I'm
much,
saying?
Yeah.
It'll be like say if I don't know who's like say if who's somebody who's huge, LeBron. Like it would take LeBron, say, a minute to dap a kid up and talk to him about his most recent game in Little League. Take a picture, and he'll never forget that.
Yeah.
LeBron will be, he'll never forget
that. To this day, I have Jizza's thing. It says, to Sean, thank you for representing Wu-Tang, Jizza.
Yep.
I still have it to this day.
To this day.
And that was like Crash the Crew. That was 2001?
Ooh.
Beneath the Surface album.
Okay.
We go that far back. That's like a 99.
Yeah.
That's how far back that goes. So, it's 20 years ago. Don't remind me, please. I just watched Knock Knock, the video. Knock Knock video.
Oh, man. I haven't heard that in a while.
Ghostface and Method Man in the video, too. What is going on? It's
man,
really
look,
bad.
Just,
it's really
look,
bad.
And a woo for you.
And a woo for you.
This movie is awesome,
woo,
man.
Woo, woo, woo.
This movie is awesome. look, guys, this movie is awesome. I'm glad it found a home finally. Netflix is a perfect place for it.
Yeah, Netflix seems to be the perfect ground for a lot of stuff just breaking through.
Yeah, a lot of stuff, because there's a lot of stuff that I think Netflix is similar to kind of like that Tyler Perry issue where, you know, you try to take a movie to a studio and they're like, nah, we ain't going to make it. Netflix like, come on over here.
Yeah, but the thing, like, come but on the thing is, it's,
Netflix like,
it
come
makes
on,
way more, cause that, see, that's why those, I hope that, that's like how like a lot of industries like kind of are remade.
Yeah.
I'm hoping the movie industry gets remade in this kind of way where it's like, that block is not there anymore.
Yeah.
Because
that used to be the block.
And that's probably what was holding creativity.
This, and that's probably what was holding this movie up.
They're blocking creativity. If you block creativity, eventually it's going to catch up to you.
Yeah.
If you were trying to pigeonhole exactly what your vision of what you think should be out there, then eventually someone's going to say, you know what? I'll go over here with my stuff.
Yeah.
That's way more creative.
Because I feel like that's probably what was holding this movie up.
Yeah, definitely. No pictures probably want to take. Oh, it's raunchy.
It's about Rudy Mae.
Who cares about Rudy Mae Moore? Exactly. Probably what they're saying. Dolomite, who's that? They probably know who Dolomite was.
Now it's killing on Netflix.
Thank you, Netflix.
Because that's where the people are.
Yeah, but even like Amazon is starting to get into, they're all trying to dip into the pot now.
People
all the streaming services are dipping pounds.
Yeah. So guys, this is worth it. I love this movie. The only reason that I'm not going.
Are you going to be giving the scores?
I'm about to score.
Oh, did we score anything else before? We always score?
Yeah, we always score. So,
wait. Maybe I should score first.
You score first. All right, score
so
first.
So we're scoring out of 100? What are we doing? 100?
Five stars.
Out of five stars.
Yeah.
I'm giving it 4.5 stars.
Same. The only reason I'm not scoring this at 5, I honestly wish it was a little longer.
Really? I got you.
I was like, man, I kind of wanted to know a little bit more. Like,
but there could be a part two.
Yeah, because see, when and this then movie
they
can
do flashbacks and show his history, like with his father or his stepfather in the cornfields or whatever, the farmer. Yeah. We can go to that stuff too.
And
I could get it.
And we got a little dramatic moment with that too, like where he brought it to the screen. Yeah. Is man.
Yeah, yeah. This rat soup
eating.
Dolomite My Name Part Two. In this part two, I would welcome, because you know I like part two, but I would welcome this part two. But hurry up with it though. Don't be give me 20 years or 30 years in between them.
Or you know what the sequel could be? The sequel could be, and Up Mother is My Game.
You're talking about
and effing up Mother Effers is My Game. That could be the name of
it. Oh, okay, I got you. I was like, wait, what?
So you put them together.
Oh, you mean the name of it? Okay,
Dolomite is My Name and effing up Mother Effers is My Game.
Yeah, I'm all for long titles.
And you'd be like, because people be like, huh? Oh,
yeah.
Like, but yeah, it. This movie delivers, man. It delivers in a lot of ways. And it's got an entrepreneurial spirit that I love. And it's cool to see how he continued to work.
But that character resonates with Eddie Murphy right now, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Because not saying he was like...
Because
he's older. Yep. He's had a career. But now people are saying, Eddie ain't funny no more. People have been saying that. It's been a whisper.
Yeah.
His movies...
His movies have been long. On the low, the person who started that whisper on the low, even though I think he was... half playing, half serious. Ooh. Kevin Hart started that mess.
Really?
When he was talking about outselling Raw and everything. And he was like, you know, Eddie ain't doing it right now. You know, he made some statement about Eddie's not doing it right now. And I can't remember which one outsold Raw. But that was kind of, started people saying like.
It's two different eras. You can't even make that comparison. It's like literally apples to oranges. Yeah. It's not even apples to oranges. It's like an old apple to a new orange. It ain't even in the same field.
Yeah,
it's like an apple to a grapefruit.
Yeah, but there have been a lot of people saying, you know, Eddie, you know, because he did all those family films and this and the third.
Understandably, like, so he got 10 children.
Yeah, but I'm like,
understandably, so he got 10 children. When he was doing those movies, he had
does
eight.
He have 10?
He has 10. He has two with his new wife, and 8 with. He has one with Mel B. He has some sprinkled.
He got a Mel B kid.
Yeah,
I forgot about Mel B.
The DNA test.
I had a crush on Mel B.
The DNA test said it was his. So yeah, he got one. But
the results say
there was another one in the tweet. So he may have 6 with the first wife.
Woo.
Nicole, I think her name was.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then like
Nicole is out like
couple
out
some not attached to people, and then Mel B. And then you have the new Paige. Butcher is her last name.
Ah,
but now probably Paige Butcher Murray or whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, man, Murphy.
I was watching Bill Murray the other day. That's about Bill Murray.
But yeah,
that's from cigarettes, coffee and cigarettes.
Movie. But ridiculous. Movies, awesome. It's a great celebration of entrepreneurial spirit. Great celebration of us. And like I've said, and like I've heard other people talk about even more eloquently than me, is like, yo, the Black community can kind of bootstrap just about any of our businesses.
As long as like, we our get spending behind, power, but we have to get behind it, though.
Yeah, like our spending power, we could bootstrap just about anybody. We wouldn't have to go fund me no nothing.
But it got a resonant, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's all about resonant. Like, cause some people won't budge unless they see it like yeah. resonates with
yeah,
something.
Yeah, it ain't gonna be like no, like all right, look, check it. We need this guy to win. So let's just get the money up. It ain't gonna be like that.
Cause Tyler Perry definitely has made money off of Black people. Yeah, in a good way, not saying a bad way.
But then he's also put black people to work.
And yeah, put Black people to work. Yeah.
Like every production of Tyler Perry's in front and behind the camera is probably 80 to 85, maybe 95% Black. Like you look on the screen, you're like, all right, word. There's like 8 Black actors, but there's like 3 white actors.
Going back to the movie. Remember when they were in the theater watching that movie with Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau?
Yep.
And they're like, this ain't funny. Like, what are white people in the movie?
And like he said, we got action, we got comedy, we got titties. That's all you need. And I'm gonna just say this. I'm gonna pick it up and put it down. I'm gonna just say this. And we got them real things. Not them fake things.
It was tasteful.
Yeah, it's tasteful. It wasn't like
when I first came on, I was like something about nudity. I'm like, what? Kind of like, okay, it's got to be, but it was tasteful. I was like, okay. It was like Hustlers. Like how that was tasteful.
Yeah, Hustlers was tasteful.
It wasn't like, because like back in the days, boy, in the 90s or 80s or something, boy, they would have showed everything.
Yeah, it would have been crazy.
But they've gotten way more tasteful.
True.
And I think because women have been more included on the sets.
Yeah.
And because they're like, even in the writing,
or let's angle it like this.
But even in the writing and everything, just including women in more things, it makes things more even and balanced.
Yeah. And like show it in a way where it makes sense. And is that
especially not gratuitous?
Yeah,
more because especially the eat out more. That was perfect. Cause I didn't see that coming. I was like,
"Yo,
oh, that's how he did it." Like, yo, boom, that was perfect.
I'm just saying,
that was perfect.
There's some real joints.
That was perfect.
It's real joints.
That was perfect.
Yeah, but those made sense. So yeah, man, love the movie, guys. Holla at us. We're gonna holla at you down in them comments. Let's talk about Dolemite Is My Name. Let's talk about Wesley Snipes, Eddie Murphy.
Yes, sir.
Keegan-Michael Key, Titus Andromedon. He'll always be
Chris
Titus Andromedon.
T.I.
Yeah, all them
Mike
cats.
Mike Epps.
Doya. I'm pretty sure if you interviewed him, he'd be like, oh, yeah, that's me just making fun of my uncle. That's probably like his uncle's voice. Yeah. Or like his, you know, like his.
Yeah, because it's always.
Some older Black dude that he
drawn from. Your own experience. It's always drawn from your own experience. Like that. It's easy because we have so many examples of it.
Yeah.
You know?
So, guys.
Even if it's not your family, it's, you know somebody in somebody else's family that you'd be like, yo, that, you know, you're making fun of them.
Yeah. You're kind of doing them
you
a little
bit.
You
copy their mannerisms and everything. Yeah, so, definitely.
Let me say. It's just like the perfect, like, it's like everything was like a football helmet.
And that's also when Black people really like grew their hair out too.
Yeah.
You see it, but not, it's a different way nowadays.
Yeah. It's not the same. But yeah, it was like everybody had the perfect circles.
Yeah, the tape was crazy. Yeah. Sometimes they even take, it's more just like, just let it, but like, it was like even. You know what I mean? Like even
like
cut.
Back then, all a barber had to do is put like a perfect circle, like a perfect circle on that joint, and then you was good. So, to my left, man.
To my left, shout it.
A guy who is about to drop a new project.
One new project.
Producer extraordinaire.
Five, actually.
Arcatron. Dang.
Not messing with you. All right. Hey, y'all. It's me, ARCKATRON.com. You can find me on all social media platforms at Arcatron. And that is that. And hopefully you look at the stuff. And if you want to shout at me or holler at me, follow me on Instagram. Because most of my stuff I'm doing is on Instagram. I'm turning to social media. Other ones I'm on there, but no. Instagram is where you find me. You can DM me, hit me up, holla at me. If you want to do some business or something like that, holla at me.
Because you got the them beats.
I got the business. And I got more stuff to beat, but yeah, I got some I do other things. You want me to mix something for you? Holla at me, too. Look. Little engineer, you know what I'm saying?
Pull fader, levers and...
Turn the fader up, turn the fader down. You know, fader up, fader down. And with your stuff, Mr. Nerd Soul, Mr. Extraordinaire, Mr. Interview Extraordinaire, Mr. Comic-Con Convention Extraordinaire, Mr. Comic Books Extraordinaire, you know, all the comic books in the whole entire universe.
Yeah.
Where can they find you?
NERDSOUL, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Don't forget to check out shop.thatnerdsoul.com. I got some new shirts up there, some new styles up there. Check it out. Also, of course, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok for that music. Then also got Spotify too. We got some iTunes, all that good stuff, and iHeartRadio for your podcast. So hit that thumbs up. But if you hit that thumbs down, I'm going to send the man after you. You ain't going to like that. So, us to you, we're saying, thanks for hanging with us. We love y'all. Y'all be good.
Now put thang out, let you spread the bang.
Peace.
Peace. Yeah.